Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day in beautiful East Tennessee. We pray this morning that you would open our hearts to your love and to your grace. We pray, Lord, that in the midst of the reminders of all that is wrong in this world, that your love and grace would fill us to overflowing, that we might leave with a song on our lips and in our hearts as we seek to draw people closer to you. Thank you for loving us so much. Meet with us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our fellow citizens and our freedom came under attack today, and no one should doubt America's resolve.
The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. An American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Now is the time for us to come together as a nation to offer our support, our prayers for victims and for their families, for the rescue workers, for law enforcement officials, for every one of us that has been changed forever by this horrible tragedy. The determination of these terrorists will not deter the determination of the American people. We are survivors, and freedom is a survivor. A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated. We will find the people responsible for these cowardly acts, and justice will be done.
We will stand together to make sure that those who have brought forth this evil deed will pay the price. We will stand with the president, we will stand with this government, and we will stand as Americans together through this time.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
And we will stand as Americans together.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Freedom.
And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
We will find the people responsible for these cowardly acts, and justice will be done.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America.
In your worship folder on the gold sheet is a litany for troubled times. I invite you to join with us as we read together responsibly. O God, creator of life and all that is beautiful and good, as we remember another anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy,
we, your sheep, are deeply troubled.
September 11th, 2001, dawned a day of sunshine and bright blue skies. But before any had their first cup of coffee, thousands had died. We are still confused, bewildered, hurt, and angry.
Giver of life, tell us why these, our brothers and sisters, are bent on taking life.
Though the tragedies were hundreds of miles from Knoxville,
we have been victimized. Those who died were our family.
Our hearts broke for those innocent victims who died in the World Trade Towers, in the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania.
We still grieve for the passengers and crews on the airplanes.
Our tears flowed for the victims on the ground and for those who courageously put their lives in harm's way to rescue others.
Even today, we cannot imagine the shock to families. Additional tens of thousands of wives, husbands, parents, and children who are still dealing with the grief and loss.
We held out hope for those who were trapped in the wreckage.
We are concerned for those injured physically and emotionally.
Forgive us, we pray, for all we have taken for granted,
including our gifts of freedom, security, and our calm to the one nation under God.
As we pray for all of these in New York and Washington and Pennsylvania, for their families, for our national leaders, and for those in the military,
we also pray for ourselves, that we might draw closer to you and each other, that we might be more faithful in sharing your love with our brothers and sisters around the globe, and that we might all work together to be ambassadors of your love, grace, and peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Thank you. Fred Hammer, going to Cleveland Clinic later this month. Remember him in your prayers. My brother Richard in South Carolina, Tuesday, will be having a needle biopsy. They've discovered that the mass in his lungs is wrapped around the veins and arteries there, and they're not sure what, if anything, they're going to be able to do with it. So keep him in your prayers. As we prepare to go to prayer, I invite you to listen now to something that was shared with the people of America shortly after 9/11.
You say you'll never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I'm not going to make it. But it's okay, I'm ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words. And as she realized he wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. "I've been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years. I said, "Of course, I'll show you the way home. Only believe in me now." I was at the base of the building when the priest ministered to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. "Come to me, this way. Take my hand." Some chose, for the final time, to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you. But someday your journey will end, and I'll be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then, at any moment, you know you're ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Remember, I love you.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we give you thanks and praise for your love, for your caring, for your compassion for all of your children. Remind us, Lord, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, that you will be there for us every moment of every day, and also in those final moments, you will be in the stairwell of our life, waiting to take our hand. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who were willing to lay down their lives to try to help others on 9/11. All of the first responders, the EMTs, the fire department, the police, the military, all of the others. We thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice. You said greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their lives for a friend. We pray today that you would be with those families. 15 years later, their hearts still ache. We pray that you'd be with the families of all of those who are in the North and South Towers, those who are in the Pentagon, those who are in Pennsylvania. We just pray that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts now. And Lord, we're reminded that while this was 15 years ago, the world still hasn't learned. We still have so many people suffering. We still have so many people that seem to be bent on making people suffer. We pray that you would strengthen our hearts. Remind us, Lord, that you have called us to be a people of love and compassion and mercy. Remind us, Lord, that whether or not they look like us, act like us, eat like us, dress like us, has no bearing whatsoever. Remind us that we are all brothers and sisters. And Lord, just as in our earthly families, we have some times where we may not like some of our family members, but we're called to love every single one of them. Help us that we might share that kind of love too. We pray especially today that you'd be with our nation as we head toward another election. Lord, we pray that you would guide and direct our hearts. We pray that you would guide and direct all of the candidates everywhere for every office. We pray, Lord, that you would show them your plan and your purpose for the United States of America, that we might be a beacon to the world, showing the world what can happen when a country is one nation under God. Thank you, Lord. We pray today that you'd be with each of your families here at Rockwood United Methodist Church. So many people here, Lord, have aches and pains, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them. We pray that they might feel your presence. In the midst of life storms, may they know that you are there with them. May they know that nothing is going to happen today or this week or this month or this year that us and you together cannot handle. Thank you, Lord, for loving and caring for us. Help us now that we might love and care for others as Jesus did, as we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pardon? No, go ahead.
Please remain standing as we sing Jesus Loves Even Me.
I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the work he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
You may be seated. I realize that 9/11 is the focus of our service today, but I also realize that there are a lot of people here who are going through a lot of things in life. We have griefs and sorrows and pains that are maybe more recent than 9/11 and maybe predating that. But there's a truth that we need to realize. That God is there watching over you and me. He sees our sorrow. He sees our pain. He wants to comfort us during those times. Tuesday, our son Ray would have been 42 years old. On Mother's Day of 1995, he died in an auto accident. Just 2 miles up the road from where I later went to pastor for 10 years. Ray was hearing impaired. To talk with him, you'd never know it. He could read lips. We'd be in a restaurant, he'd be watching somebody all the way across the room. He'd say, "Do you know what she just said to him?" But he was normal in every way and sense, except for the fact that he did have some hearing issues. Well, this song was special to us then, because Ray and I would do a duet on it. I would sing and he would sign it. He knew American Sign Language and he would sign it there with me. Well, after he left, the song became even more special to us because there have been numerous times, even these years later, when the tears have flowed because of that loss, because of the grief, because of the ache. And the reminder for us, all of us, is that for those tears I died.
Said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, You came here to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. And I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I'm here to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without you I'd never be whole. Savior, you've opened all the right doors, and I thank you and I praise you from earth's humble shore. Jesus, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. And I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I'm here to remind you that for those tears I died. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. And I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I'm here to remind you that for those tears I died.
That's a tough act to follow. Today's scripture reading should be familiar to most everyone. I remember it from my wedding over 40 plus years ago. It comes from the 13th chapter of Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As you know, we have just started a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. Let me remind you of Galatians chapter 5. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love. And of course, there are others that follow, but today we're going to talk about love. About how when the Holy Spirit lives and reigns and rules in our hearts, love is what happens. Love is who we are. Our Bible says God is love, and if God is living within us, we could take the word God out and we could put our name in there. David is love. Richard is love. Carson is love. It works. Now, we need to realize that there in Galatians chapter 5, it's not a prioritized list, okay? Number 1, 2, 3, and the top one's the most important. But we do need to realize that when God's love controls our hearts and lives, all of these other attributes of a Spirit-filled life fall into place. Let's look at this portion of scripture from Galatians and compare it to 1 Corinthians 13 that David read from just a moment ago. Galatians 5, love. 1 Corinthians 13, love will last forever. Galatians 5, joy. Love is never glad when injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Peace. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. We think of peace in the Middle East. That's almost an oxymoron. For over 4,000 years over there, they've been fighting. One side does something, the other side does something back. So then the other side does something back to them, and back and forth it goes for 40 centuries. And it's still going on. Years ago, I worked with a lady. She told that when she got married, the day after they were married, her husband went out and cheated on her. She said, I fixed him. The next day I went out and cheated on him. That doesn't bring peace to a family, let me tell you. Patience, love is patient. Kindness, love is kind. Goodness and faithfulness, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Gentleness, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Self-control, love does not demand its own way. They're tied in. Love is the very nature of God. Now, we're all aware, and we've heard many times, that in the Greek, there are several different words that are used for love. There is the word philia, from which we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. You knew that, didn't you? Yes. There's the word eros, which is the erotic or physical love or lust. Agape, though, is the one we're talking about today. This is the unconditional kind of love that is God, and that God shares with us as God's children, and that God wants us to share with all of our brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, as human beings, a lot of times we really don't have much of an understanding of what real love is all about. To gain a deeper understanding about love this morning, let's ask some experts what love really is. This is a group of children, age 4 to 8. Rebecca, aged 8, said, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so grandpa does it for her now all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Chrissy, age 6, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Terry, age 4, love is what makes you smile even when you're tired. Danny, age 7, Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and then she takes a sip to make sure it's okay. Emily, age 8. Love is when you kiss all the time. And when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. My mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. Bobby, age 7. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas, if you stop opening presents and listen. Noel, age 7. Love is when you tell a boy that you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6. Love is like a woman and a man who are still friends even after they know each other. Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Chris, age 7. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says that he's handsomer than Robert Redford, whoever that is. Marianne, age 4. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Jessica, age 8. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. The winner was a 4-year-old boy whose elderly next-door neighbor had recently lost his wife. When the boy saw the man sitting on his front porch crying, he went over and climbed up in the man's lap. Later, when he came back home, the mother said, "What did you say to the man?" Little boy said, "I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." Let's look at some misconceptions about love. First of all, there are some people that think that love is just a feeling. It's an emotion. We're always searching for that kind of feeling. When we look at love this way, we fall into and out of love rather frequently. Some people think that love is uncontrollable. For many, love means feeling giddy and head spinning and weak in the knees. Now, it amazes me the stuff that our young people listen to today. When you and I were young, our songs really had meaning to them. For instance, "Who put the ram in the ram-a-lama ding dong?" Now, that's deep. Whoever wrote it said that they made my baby fall in love with me. Now, I don't know if putting the ram in the ram-a-lama ding dong makes somebody fall in love or not. And I don't know if telling someone ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla, bing-bang is going to deepen the relationship a whole lot. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there's no guarantee that love potion number 9 really works. We can be sure this morning that love is more than a feeling and love is controllable. Often I have young couples come to me for premarital counseling. And traditionally I have 2 words of advice I give them. The first one is don't. The second one is elope. And obviously they don't listen to either one. Now, the other thing I do when I have a couple come to me for premarital counseling, I inevitably will ask them a question. I'll say, "I want you to tell me why in the world you want to marry each other without using the word love." Because if I didn't put that restriction on there, they say, "Oh, I want to marry them because I love them." It's interesting when they get to thinking about it, about trying to explain why in the world they want to commit their lives to each other for the rest of life without using that one particular word. When we talk about the Holy Spirit producing love in our hearts and lives, we're talking about God's love that makes a world of difference in our lives, in our families, in our church, and in our world. Now, there are two things we can do to keep love alive. First of all, we can ask, okay, what is love? Love is a matter of choice. And overall virtues put on love, which binds them all together. That's in Colossians 3. Love is not something of which we are a victim. It's something we choose. Paul would not have asked us to put on something that we can't control. Secondly, B, love is a matter of conduct. 1 John says, let us not love with words, but in actions and truth. It's more than what we say, it's behavior. In this passage, John was telling us to back up our words with actions. A man told his girlfriend one time, he said, honey, I love you so much, I would die for you. He said, you're always saying that, but you never do. With it being football time in Tennessee, go Vols. Yes, good game last night. I did not watch all of it. I didn't go to Bristol. When it was 14-0, I have to confess that I was a little bit apprehensive, but it all turned out all right. But with it being football time in Tennessee, a wife was commenting to her husband one day. She says, you love football more than you love me. And the husband said, well, you know what? You're right. But I do love you more than basketball. Number one, we ask what love is. Number two, we act like love acts. Love is alive when it is patient. It is dying when it is hurried. It is dead when it cannot wait. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us love is patient. In Ephesians 4, it says, be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Patience isn't always easy, but we need to remember how patient God has been with us. B, love is alive when it cares, dying when it forgets, dead when it ignores. Again, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is kind. Ephesians 4, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. Kindness equals the ability to care for each other in the practical details of life. There was a greeting card one time that said, if I had an ice cream cone, I'd give you half. If I had 6 pieces of candy, you'd get 3. If I had 2 apples, one would be yours. If I won the lottery, I'll send you a postcard from Tahiti. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul said, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Relationships will grow based on our willingness to forgive. When we understand what God has done for you and me, it's a whole lot easier for us to consider forgiving others. See, love is alive when it is secure, dying when it doubts, dead when it stops trusting. 1 Corinthians 13 again, love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. People who are secure can be vulnerable and honest with each other, knowing that the other person has their best interest at heart. Those who can't share with honesty and integrity are in relationships that lack security. A circus trapeze artist was talking about the safety net. He said, it makes me a better performer because the net is there. I feel secure and willing to risk more. I'm willing to try an extra turn, an extra twist, or a trick that I otherwise wouldn't try at all. It's also true in marriage. When there's security, people can realize their full potential. D, love is alive when it gives, dying when it exchanges, dead when it takes. Love is giving. The Bible says, for God so loved that he gave. To give first means to be vulnerable. What happens if the other person doesn't give back? What happens if I take the first step and they don't meet me halfway? We lose the best things in life if we're constantly waiting for someone else to even the score. Love is not that way. E, love is alive when it acts into feeling. Dying when it feels but doesn't act, or acts but doesn't feel. Dead when it no longer feels or acts. Again, from 1 Corinthians, it always protects, always trusts, always perseveres. Jesus on the cross is a picture of loving God, loving the unlovable. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Okay, quickly, let me give you 5 lessons about love here. First of all, love people now. It's not always that we don't feel it, we don't express it. If you love someone, tell them today. When Idi Amin was a ruthless dictator in Uganda, Christians there were in great danger. The bishop of Uganda, in a church service, knowing that death could be imminent for every one of them, said, if you love somebody, tell them. Number 2, love is vulnerable. We can either withhold affection and stiff-arm people, or we can open our arms and let them in. When we choose to love, we open up, and we're open both to affirmation and to hurt or betrayal. C.S. Lewis said, love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to be sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It will not be broken, but it will become unbreakable and impenetrable. The only place, listen to this now, the only place outside of heaven where you can be safe from all of the dangers of love is hell. Number 3, love is powerful. Number 4, love is unconditional. People normally need to be loved the most when they need it or when they deserve it the least. A man was proposing to his girlfriend one time. He had the ring. There was a full moon. He got down on one knee and he said, I want you to marry me. He said, I don't have a fancy car and yacht like Bill Jones. I don't have a big house like Bill Jones. I don't have as much money as Bill Jones, but I love you with all my heart. She looked into his eyes and she said, I love you too. But could you tell me more about Bill Jones? Number 5, the spirit of love makes all people and events special. Henry Drummond said, you will find as you look back upon life that the moments when you have really lived are the moments when you've done things in the spirit of love. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of love in us. My friends, we need to realize that God is never, ever going to let go of us because he loves us that much. Now, he still gives us free will and we can still make choices of our own. But God will never let go. Let me share one story with you and we're done. In keeping with the 9/11 remembrance today, Time magazine, September 11th, 2002, a year later, told the story of 31-year-old Janelle Guzman, the last of only 4 people in the debris of the Twin Towers to be found alive. After the planes had hit the World Trade Centers, Janelle was descending a staircase from the 64th floor of the North Tower. Steel beams were weakened to their breaking point. Solid concrete was turned to dust as the building collapsed. Her body came to rest in an air pocket. Her right leg was pinned under heavy concrete pillars. Her head was caught in the wreckage. But somehow she was still alive. For 27 hours, She lay trapped and seriously injured. In recent months before the attacks, Janelle had started attending services at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. She wanted God to help her turn her life around. While stuck in the rubble, she would pray, she'd doze off, then she'd pray some more. Shortly after noon on Wednesday, September the 12th, she heard voices. She screamed as loud as she could, "I'm here! I'm here!" She took a piece of concrete and banged it against a broken stairway overhead. The searchers slowly and carefully moved toward her voice. Janelle pushed her hand through a crack in the wall and felt someone grab it. She heard a voice say, "I've got you." It took 20 long minutes and then she was freed. She later said that feeling someone take her hand and hearing the assuring words, "I've got you," stirred her heart more than anything else had in her whole life. Kind of reflective of Tommy Dorsey's song, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." No matter what you and I are going through today, we need to realize that God loves us unconditionally. And he wants to take hold of our hand and assure us that he has us. Now, that being said, if God really has us, not only is God holding on to us, but each one of us are holding on to God in reaching out to hold on to others. When we do this, our lives, our church, our nation, and our world are going to be transformed. And that's what, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us, is all about. Your homework assignment this week: allow God to produce a harvest of fruit in your lives and find ways to share it. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would be with each one of us through each of our storms, through each of our 9/11s, not just a calendar date, but our crisis situations in life. Help us that we might dare to hold on to you, knowing that you're holding on to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing "More Love to Thee, O Christ."
Two verses.
More love to thee, O Christ. Thank you.
now may you go with the assurance that God is with you every moment of every day and in the stairwells of your final moments. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.